This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Hey, thanks for joining me today for the first episode of the Positive Teacher Podcast. It's for teachers who love the Lord. If you're a teacher, public, private, charter, homeschool, or if you're a youth leader or a Sunday school teacher, you're my hero. Why? Because you are Christ's ambassadors to this generation. Every day, you do the heavy lifting of teaching, training, supporting, and advocating for kids. Educator, your work matters. It matters to our society, and most importantly, it matters to God. A great teacher can be an absolute game changer in the life of a young person. You know that. I'm Jackie Matthews, and I love teaching. I've taught elementary, high school, and adults since the 1990s. Now, I'm also an author, conference speaker, wife, mother, and new grandmother. My prayer is that this podcast encourages your heart with God's word and gives you practical solutions to problems we all face in teaching. Remember, although our students are dealing with things today that weren't even around 20 years ago, things like cyberbullying, two things haven't changed: the human heart and God's word. So let's get started. I was invited to be on a podcast recently to be interviewed about my new book, The Power of the Positive Teacher. It's out on Amazon. $11 of every book sale goes to help our Kenya school. So if you buy a book, that would really bless the little children in Kenya. And I was really nervous to go on the podcast. And I thought, oh my gosh, what if there's dead air? And so I didn't sleep the night before, and I was praying and thinking and worrying about it. And then I did the podcast with the interviewer, and I found out something really cool. It was really fun, and I had a blast. And so after that experience, I thought, you know, I've never done podcasting before, but I think I'm going to give it a go, because I know I love podcasts, and I listen to them as I'm commuting to work and home. I listen to them while I'm cooking dinner or cleaning the house or just doing something mundane. It really helps to, I learn something new or I get encouraged. And so I really enjoyed podcasts. And then I thought, you know, as a teacher, I want to make sure that I'm always a learner and I'm never very far away from that feeling of, wow, this is a new experience. What am I supposed to do? And that little nervousness, because I always want to stay connected to my kids and know what they're going through. Because I think that's really important for us teachers to always be learners and always know what that feels like. So thank you for joining us. And here we go. So I did my research for the last few weeks and bought all my things on Amazon so I could start my own little podcast. And here we go. They say, the big they in the sky, that when you start a podcast, your very first one should be an introduction to your listeners of who you are and why you're doing this. So first thing I want to tell you is I love, love, love teachers. I've been doing teaching. I've been in education since the 90s. Yes, since before our children had smartphones. So yes, that was kind of exciting. And before they could go on the internet and before there was Google, I was teaching, and I've been teaching till very recently, and now I do teacher training, and it's just kind of an exciting thing about what God has done in my life recently, and I love it. But that's helped me to be introduced to teachers around America, and so what I'm going to be able to do in my podcast is bring you some really cool tips from master teachers across the U.S., and so I think that'll be useful, because I'm all about collaboration. I'm all about, you know, if you find something that's working, share it with other people, and let's be successful together. And I think together we're much more powerful than, you know, walking into our own classrooms and doing our own thing and not paying attention to anybody else. I am a wife, mother, brand new grandmother. Our oldest boy and his wife just had our first grandchild, a little boy. His name is John. He's going to be John the Fourth. And that's really big here in the South. We live in Texas and they live in Florida. And I love that generational thing. And so that's really sweet, because he named after his dad, his grandpa, and his great-grandfather, all men who really love the Lord and are outstanding men of character. So that's pretty cool. And I just adore him. He's just the coolest thing going. And I tell Emily, you have to send me a picture every single day, because he's changing so fast. As I mentioned, I've been an educator since the 90s. I was home for a few years we have four children, and while they were growing up, I just really felt like the Lord wanted me home with our children, because we were moving a lot from my husband's work. And so we weren't near family. We weren't near anybody else. And,
that I trusted to care for our children. Maybe you have a great situation, and if you do, yay. But I just didn't. And so I was home raising him when they were little. And then when they started to become school age, really prayed about what God wanted us to do for their education, and really prayed that, and felt that God was calling me not to go into the classroom and teach other people's kids all day, because then I'd come home exhausted at the end of the day and have nothing to give my own kids, because that's just kind of the way I'm built. I give my all to whatever my career is, but calling me to stay home and homeschool. So I grew up in the California public school system, kindergarten through college, and had a phenomenal experience. And then now I was a homeschool mom, and I did that for several years. And then when our youngest entered first grade, we prayed again for God's will. And at that point, our kids were sixth grade, third grade, and first grade. So we have a boy, identical twin girls, and a baby boy, and felt like God was calling our children to go into a small private Christian school near where we lived. Could not afford the tuition, said, okay, Father, we're doing this on faith. So signed the kids up, told the principal, we're signing up here in April on faith because we can't afford it. And the Lord, 2 weeks before school started, made a way, a small part-time teaching position at the school. And that was just enough money that we could pay tuition. And from that, he grew my career, teaching career there. And I ended up being the director and leading the gifted ed program. It was a K-5 program in our school. Just so happened we had a whole bunch of high academic kids coming to our school, and they needed some special help. So it was a K-12 or K-5 pullout program. Loved teaching that. I had a little extra time on my hands when I wasn't working with the highly capable kids. And so I went to my teachers and said, hey, what else do you guys need? Is there something else I can do to bless you? And they said, hey, we could use some remedial work with math and some remedial reading classes. So I've done some of that as well. And that was a really cool experience to work with these beautiful kids who just needed a little extra help unlocking those doors of learning. And so I spend part of my day with kids who are reading, like third graders who are reading at 12th grade level, and part of my day working with maybe fourth graders who are reading at the second grade level and needed a little help and support there. And so it was a wonderful experience, and I'm grateful for all of those opportunities. Taught there for many, many years, was blessed, and I give all the glory to God, was blessed to be named the best program in the state of Washington. And that was a huge blessing. Got to meet the governor, take my kids, and it was just really cool. And then a few years later, went and taught in a Christian high school. And I'd always joke that when my kids got taller than me, I sent them off to other teachers because they would be with me kindergarten through fifth grade, and then I'd send them off to other teachers. But now I'm working with kids, and they were freshman to senior in high school. And that turned out to be a blast. And I don't know if you're teaching elementary, middle school, or high school, but I have found that high school kids are just, they're just like big dogs. They're, you know, they don't wear their heart on the sleeve quite as much as the younger children. So you have to dig a little bit more to get to know them and find out what's going on. But once you get their heart, their mind will follow. And that was kind of always my philosophy in education. It's like, first, I want their heart. I want them to know that I love them, that I believe in them, that I trust them, and that together, and that I'm super invested in their education and their success, and that we will get there. And it might be an easy road. It might be a really hard road. You know, everybody starts at a different place, but we are going to get there together. And once my students knew that that's who I was and that's what I was about, they would trust me and they would give me their heart. And then comes the mind, and then we're working. And I never made any apologies for working hard. I believe in hard work. I believe that that's how you get ahead in life. So I never apologize for hard work. When they'd start like, oh, this is so hard, Mrs. Matthews, I can't do this. I'm going, yeah, it is hard, but you can do it, and we'll do it together. And I'm going to be working hard with you. So let's roll up our sleeves and get going. This podcast, my purpose for this podcast is to love and encourage and support you teachers. I am a Jesus gal, have been since I was a little girl. My grandmother, who was a pastor's widow, raised me. My mother and daddy both worked full-time. My dad was a phenomenal educator for 40 years in the California public school system. And I'll be referring back to him from time to time because he showed me what an outstanding educator looks like. So I grew up in that kind of a household, knowing, I mean, he gave his everything to his students and they loved him. And when my father passed away at the age of 84, I can't tell you the number of students that came to his funeral and asked to speak. And that was a really cool experience. And here are these people standing in front of me at my father's funeral. My heart's breaking, but I'm happy for him. I know he's in heaven, but I'm sad because I'm missing him. And they were sharing what he had done in their lives 30 and 40 years ago, which blew my mind. So the power of a teacher's influence. So teachers are heroes to me. Like I said, I've been one, but I also love them. And so after I taught high school, all of a sudden I was asked to do some, actually it started when I was an elementary teacher, started to do some training on campus. And they asked me, hey, would you do some after work professional development, maybe on gifted ed or on remedial work, classroom management, different things like that. And so I started doing that. And then that organically grew to doing district-wide things. And then that grew to doing conferences for, you know, several, like we brought in all the teachers from a 3-state area or 5-state area and would do conferences. And so I did some conferences there. And I suddenly realized, as much as I love teaching in my own classroom, helping teachers succeed was super cool. And seeing them, you know, kind of bring a problem. And so we would discuss it and then they would go back and try it and it solved their problem. Or maybe, you know, we had to tweak it 2 or 3 times, right? Because not everything works for everybody. So we try something and we tweak it and we tweak it again, but getting that solution and seeing that kid come alive and blossom as a learner and get past maybe that brick wall that was just in front of them is really exciting. So that's what I do now. Like I said, it grew organically. I was just doing some additional things while I was working full time and then started doing it and started doing it professionally. And so now I work with teachers nationwide doing professional development. I do a lot of stuff with teacher self-care, and I'll be talking about that on other podcasts, in classroom management, some gifted ed, some differentiating our instruction, so student motivation, really connecting with our kids. So this podcast, I'm going to be offering a lot of practical tips, things that I've learned from master teachers across the United States. So, you know, kind of one-stop shopping. Hopefully you'll get some ideas from great teachers across the U.S. I will also on occasion be interviewing people. I know things like student trauma is a big, big issue. I'm hearing that across the nation from teachers. I'm hearing it from blue ribbon schools. I'm hearing it from schools in difficult areas. So we'll be talking about that. I already have an expert in mind who's going to come and talk about that. We'll talk about teacher self-care. We'll talk about classroom management things. We'll talk about dealing with difficult people. Maybe that's a teacher, a coworker. Maybe it's a principal. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's a student. But you know, dealing with difficult people is very much a part of a teacher's life. So how do we do that successfully? How do we graciously handle those difficult conversations with those difficult people? So I'll be bringing in some experts, and I would love your thoughts on this because, again, to me, collaboration is key, and that's what we want to do. I love teachers. I believe that teaching is truly one of the most influential career paths you can have, because we are influencing the next generation of people. I love what Nelson Mandela said, education is the most powerful weapon that you can use to change the world. And isn't that the truth? So what we're doing every day as educators, when those kids grow up, they take our lessons and our examples with them, for good or for bad. Each one of us can think about a teacher or teachers who poured into our life and did great things for us. We can also remember the teacher who said something really ugly And they probably, it was years ago, they don't remember it. It just came out of their mouth and they've moved on and they don't even remember they did that. But it stuck in our heart, didn't it? So we'll talk about the power of our words, the power of our actions. Now, as I mentioned, I'm a Christian woman. Jesus Christ is my Savior. The Bible is my instruction manual. That's what John and I use to raise our children, handle our finances, deal with our professional life. We are very active in our church. I've been very active in women's ministry and leading retreats for, 15 years now. I love to lead women's retreats and do teaching there and do leading Bible studies for the last 20 years. So that's a really important part of my life. You don't need to be a Christian to listen to my podcast, certainly, but just know that's who I am. And so scripture and occasionally stories from the Bible and prayer are going to be a part of my podcast. Jesus, of course, was and will always be the master teacher. So he will be our guide for our podcast, just like he was my guide in my classroom. He helped me set up the foundation of my classroom. He's the one I abided with every day. He's the one I prayed to for myself and my students and my families and my coworkers. He's the one that I used his example when I was putting together my classroom management strategies and my goals and my rules in our classroom. So that will play a very, very important part of my podcast. I'm going to end this part with this quote, and that is, a great teacher is like a candle. It consumes itself to light the way for others. So what we want to do as teachers is we always want to do our very best for our students, and we want to light that exciting torch of learning for our kids. But we want to do it in such a way that we don't just lose ourselves. So self-care and work-life balance will also be something that we talk about in this podcast. I'm really looking forward to spending this time with you. I hope you enjoy it. I hope it is a blessing to you. That is my prayer. I want you to know that I will be praying for you every day. So whether you ever listen to my podcast again, just know I'm praying every day for America's teachers, wherever you're teaching. Maybe you're in elementary, maybe you're in middle school, maybe you're high school, maybe you're a Sunday school teacher, maybe you work with a youth group after hours, maybe you teach at a camp. But if you are a person who teaches kids and influences them, wherever you're doing that, I believe that this podcast, I'm praying that this podcast will be a blessing to you. And I'm leading into Jesus Christ to do that. You plus God equal an unbeatable team. So I leave you today with this scripture. This is from Jesus' words himself, John 15, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then my Father will give you whatever you ask for in my name. So remember, dear educator, if you're in a classroom, you are there by God's calling. He puts you there. Maybe you're in a school, a public school, and your principal is a Christian, and you know, you guys pray, you do a prayer walk around your campus before school starts, you know, whoever wants to be there, completely voluntary. So you're in a great place. Yay. Thank God for that. But maybe, dear educator, you're in a school, and this is where I taught. I taught in Tacoma, Washington. So Tacoma and Seattle, those two counties, Pierce County and King counties, are the two most unchurched counties in America, which means not very many people go to church up there. It's kind of the opposite of the Bible Belt. Now I'm living in the Bible Belt, but that's where I was living before I moved down here. And being a Christian up there is not a very popular thing. So there's a lot of principals in the school systems up there who are very anti-Christian, and it's just not a very, very comfortable place. If that's where you are, if you're in a position in a public school system, charter school, and your leadership is pretty anti-Christian, we're going to talk about your rights, your legal rights as a Christian teaching in the public school, and you have a lot of them. What you can and cannot do, because we want to be respectful of the law and we want to be respectful of your contract. So we'll be talking about that, and I'll bring in an expert to talk about that. But know that even if you cannot say the name of Jesus Christ, your boss has said, I don't want to hear any of it. I don't, you know, that does not come out of your mouth. Know that you can be a powerful witness for Jesus Christ without ever mentioning his name. By the way you choose to live your life, by the words you choose, by what you choose to say, by what you choose to not say. by how your attitude toward your students and others, by your excellence, the way you conduct yourself as a teacher and as a person, speaks volumes. And you know what? Kids know. Kids know that you're a Christian, whether you say something or not. I was just talking to my sweet neighbor next door. She just retired after like 45 years teaching art and in high schools. And her kids always knew that she was a Christian. And she never said anything. They always say, "Oh, Miss Linda, we know that you're a Christian." And they would start conversations with her. So if your kids start conversations, you are allowed to have a conversation. And so we'll talk about that some more later. But I want to encourage you, wherever God has put you, He has called you by name, and He has put you where He wants you to be, and you are to be salt and light there. My prayer, and like I said, I'm praying for you every day. My prayer is to support and encourage you with a podcast that just brings you joy. Hopefully you're listening to me maybe on the way into work, or on the way home, or just making dinner, but just know that I'm praying for you and I'm encouraging you. So let's close this in prayer. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the idea to do a podcast. I thank you for the people who invited me to do one so I had a taste of it. And Father, I ask, like I said on my knees before I even started speaking, use me. Use me to help and encourage and offer support to teachers throughout the U.S. or maybe around the world. I don't know. I ask you to come in and do something great in this teacher's life, everyone who's listening, that you would be with them in a powerful way. You would strengthen them. You would encourage them. You would give them wisdom. You would give them discernment. You would give them energy. You would give them wonderful people to come alongside them, whether it's volunteers or parents or coworkers, and that you would help them find a great work-life balance. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thanks for listening in. I hope you enjoyed it. Remember, you plus God are an unbeatable team. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.